Good morning. On this second Sunday in Lent, we continue exploring our faith, this morning listening to Jesus' desire to gather us all in as a mother hen gathers her chicks. Reading from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
O Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever and always acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our Redeemer, our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end, the source of our love and a wellspring of our joys. Amen. It's always fascinating to explore how a love relationship develops. And I'll explore one and invite you to find your story within. Their eyes met across a crowded room. Somehow their gaze seemed to lock for an eternity. That person was so familiar to you. There was this curious energy found as you were sharing this embrace. You had met them, but when? Where? It seemed that you somehow knew this person, or were you seeing them for the first time? Overcoming you was this unstoppable urge to go over and speak to this person. Maybe they would come over and speak to you. And then you become kind of immobilized. You can't make a decision. You can't move your legs. You can't even decide what to do. Your friend inquires, "Are you okay?" And then as you look over, the person is gone. The moment has passed, or has it? Has opportunity ended, or is the person now, as you see them, coming towards you? You see them coming towards you, your stomach starts to go to the floor, your cheeks flush, and your throat goes dry. They extend a hand to you and say, "Hello, I noticed you were looking in my direction. Have we met before? You look so familiar." And what unfolds between the two of you, what unfolds is a beautiful love affair. You share life, you share vulnerability, you trust, you share your deepest fears, your deepest hopes. You share so much. What unfolds, though, is not entirely wine and roses, though. At times, one gets too close and you back away. You back away and they pursue and you reunite. And at other times, you back away and they pursue and again you reunite, and so the dance of love goes on. And over the years, that love affair blossoms. I'd like to suggest this morning that love relationship that I just described is one that is extended to each and every one of us by God. That love affair that I just described of God pursuing us, of God engaging with us relentlessly, vulnerably, caring for us, is a love affair offered by God to each and every one of us. We have been loved since our very creation. Even before we were a twinkle in our parents' eyes, we were a spark in God's creative energy, allowing us to be formed and shaped and birthed into this world. On the second Sunday of Lent, as we have been considering rediscovering who we truly are, this morning we rediscover who we are with a vulnerable love. That we are deeply loved by a vulnerable, caring, relentless love by God. And I'd like to just, if we can, for a brief moment, just to stop right here. Just to pause and consider how that makes you feel, how that makes me feel. That we are deeply loved by an unstoppable, relentless love. How does that touch your soul? How does that make you feel when you are reminded of this love? This love that was there for you ever since you were a spark into creation. Now, as heartwarming and as beautiful as that should be for us, there is an implicit challenge that is there as well, and it comes as part of the relationship dynamic that I described. This comes from our tendency that we often, for good reasons, but we tend to reject an overzealous lover in our lives, don't we? We do the love dance very, very well, don't we? This is something that we see in human relationships time and time again. One pursues and one recoils and the other pursues, and the dance goes back and forth and back and forth. This is a dance that is older than time. This is a dance that is embedded in our DNA and also in our spiritual DNA. To consider this morning how the love dance is a part of our spiritual way. I'd like to consider this morning that perhaps we actually reject a lot of God's love advances. That we reject God's love advances into our lives as well, often without even realizing it. We don't fully receive the love that God offers us. We don't fully embrace the love God offers us. This morning, as we consider, as we move into this second Sunday of Lent, we consider how we are living with this gift of this vulnerable love that is being offered fully to you and to me. Now, it's good to know that we're in good company. That we're in good company is not just in our human modern-day DNA, it's also in our spiritual DNA of our brothers and sisters in faith. We only need to open the Bible and we'll find a story about God's people rejecting God's love and God's care. If we open it all the way to the beginning, we would find a story of Adam and Eve, all the way there in the Garden of Eden in this wonderful utopian paradise, rejecting God's advances of love to live in harmony. If we were to continue on in Scripture, we might come across the 40-year sojourn of the Hebrew people in the wilderness and the constant stories of rejection, separation from God, and the anger from this God that had liberated them from Egyptian slavery towards the promised land, yet they were grumbling and rejecting and living in those ways. You might think about all the many ways that the prophets speaking God's words were rejected and sometimes even put to more difficult ways of judgment themselves. And I think that is the reason for this morning's text, that Jesus uses that image of the mother hen. The mother hen gathering her chicks under her wings is that same kind of metaphor, that same kind of image of this God that would yearn to gather us together under God's protective care. That is the nature, the way of God. Scientists are telling us today what Jesus, I guess, knew all the way back then, that hens are very smart. Chickens are very smart. They anticipate, they plan, and they even have the compassionate ability, it seems like, to worry. I was watching a thing on Animal Planet as I was telling the kids earlier, and in fact, it was telling us as they've been dissecting chickens' brains that chickens have evolved much like we have. Chickens' brains are very complex with the way those brains have designed over the centuries, and it's allowed them to become even more adaptable and allows them to even to evolve and to survive over the generations. Jesus chooses the smart, self-sacrificing, caring chicken as a model for the kind of ministry he wishes to engage in. If we watch the chicks, watch those cute little chicks around the mother hen, well, as you see on the screen, those chicks are always doing anything but wanting to stay under her protective care. The mother hen always has her work cut out for her. We look at those chicks and we see them trying to escape and get into all kinds of trouble. And then Jesus offers these words, "How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing." So why are we not willing? Why are we akin to the chicks in the picture? I don't know. I don't know the nature of our humanity, why we resist, but I know in my own life, I don't know about yours, I know resistance is there at times. I know at times I resist God's unconditional love. I know at times I resist God's invitations. It takes so many different forms, doesn't it? We just need to open the newspaper today, turn on the television, or sometimes peer into our own hearts. We see things relating to anger, resentment, despair, bitterness, prejudice, and vengeance, and the list goes on and on. We don't need to look to New Zealand and the horrible tragedy that fell in that part of the world to understand the nature of our rejection of God's love. We know it because we see it in our own communities and quite often in our own souls. Jesus put it very succinctly when he said, "Whatever you do to the least of these, you also do unto me." And yet, God continues to come. God continues to offer love. God invites, God seeks, God longs for us over and over. God does not give up on us, just like a mother hen gathering her chicks together. God's desire is to offer that loving embrace, that loving, caring embrace to you and to I, to invite us into this vulnerable type of love that indeed is for you and for me. I think as we move into this second Sunday of Lent, on this second Sunday of Lent, we're reminded that we are touched by this unrelentless, vulnerable love that is offered by God to you and to me. A love that is greater, a love that is deeper, a love that is offered to you. How do we turn the tables on this? How do we truly learn to God to learn to love God in return? If it's our tendency to avoid, to kind of back away when we receive this amazing love from another, how do we counteract that tendency so that we might more fully engage in this deep love affair with God? Reading psychologist Melanie Greenberg recently, she wrote a book, 10 Research-Based Truths About People in Love, and I was reading it through, it's about people in love, but as I was reading it through, I can't help but being struck by the number of spiritual applications that were found in her research. I saw three that I'd like to propose for us in our spiritual love affair with God: to engage in listening, to engage in gratitude, and to engage in forgiveness. First of all, listening. We all know about the 80-20 rule. We all know about the 80-20 rule, where we're encouraged to spend 80% of our time in a relationship listening and 20% speaking, right? I think this might also be applied in our way to be in relationship with God. What if we were to spend 80% of our time listening to God and 20% speaking? What if prayer was about 80% about listening? Listening to God in our life. This is the basis of what two of our gatherings here that happen on Monday night, our centering prayer, and Tuesday night mindfulness meditation, really is all about. Gathering and listening to God in our life. That practice of deeply, deeply listening to God's presence, to God speaking in each of our lives. What might happen? I wonder what might happen to you and to me if we were to deeply listen to God's word, to God speaking in our life. Second area was about the practice of gratitude. We never know how much a difference we make in people's lives when we show gratitude, do we? Gratitude might range from sending a card or an email. It might be something like saying thank you or actually stopping to tell someone how much you appreciate them. Meister Eckhart from the 13th century, all the way back in the 13th century, said, if the only prayer you said was thank you, it would be enough. During the season of Lent, some people had asked me here at the church they wanted to work on gratitude as their Lenten discipline, and I've been using a practice called the Examen. It's a practice that comes from the 16th century from St. Ignatius, and it basically is five movements that we do in the day. First of all, it's about being aware of God, so it kind of relates to the first about listening. And then about reviewing the day with gratitude. And then paying attention to our emotions as we do so. And then meditating on one aspect that we're dealing with there. And then looking towards tomorrow. Practice of gratitude is something that opens us up to the awareness of God's presence, God's grace and love in our lives. I wonder what it might look like if we were to truly embrace God with a sense of gratitude. Third one, of course, is the hardest, and that's forgiveness. It's the most difficult of the three practices, but it's one that has the potential to release us, to liberate us from anger and frustration that might be harbored. It allows us to move forward in our relationships with others, with ourselves, and with God. Now, certainly we need at times to protect ourselves from toxic individuals. But what forgiveness is about moving forward in healthy ways that allow us to move forward into our lives. So important because it allows us to be present. To be present to God, to be present to others, to be fully present in the moment. I wonder what it might truly look like in our lives. If we were to find ways to forgive, to live protected, but to not be held back, to living and moving forward. Listening, gratitude, forgiveness. There's some ways that we might open space and further engage in this deep love affair that God offers for us. Because God's not going to give up. God is not going to give up on you or me. God is going to keep pursuing us with the deepest, most passionate love that you can ever imagine. The only question becomes is, will we in turn love God back? Will we return that kind of love with the ways we live and the ways we express our lives? The amazing love like that of a mother hen gathering those chicks together. What a beautiful part of our faith. Amen.